This is a snapshot of several things that's going on in our ministry. We just praise the Lord because of your church and many like yours that help us to stay in the work there in Kenya, stay on the field, and to continue to raise up disciples, continue to teach and train, plant churches, and even as you saw there, building buildings, buying land, helping them to establish those churches. Our big picture goal is that we can help them to stabilize so that they can do and focus on the ministry. And so that we get out of the picture and they continue on with the ministry. So my dream in Kenya is that we would be able to reach Kenya for Christ and even beyond the borders of Kenya. And as we mentioned there, we've started this Kenya Baptist Missionary Service, and we have a missionary in South Sudan. She's working with, I see that you support the Wilsons in South Sudan. She has gone over there. She was there before they got there, but they worked together on the same compound. She started the Christian school. And so she has a high school there, not an elementary, but a high school, because there's great need for that in South Sudan. And with over 120 students, many of those kids coming to know Christ during that ministry. So we have a second missionary that his paper is on our board. It's called Chege. And Chege is, he came to me a few years ago with a desire to take the gospel to England. And now when an African wants to go to England, normally it's for work. Okay? And so people are very confused that he wants to go to England to share the gospel and not just go there and make money. So it's been very difficult for him to raise support. And so just continue to pray for him. We're even looking for other ways to raise support for him so he can get the gospel. He was there once on a survey trip, was able to win a man to the Lord. And when an African man wins a white man from England, that is a huge step in their ministry that they can communicate and connect. And so that is because in our world today, we have a lot of challenge with people crossing borders, crossing people groups. And so as he believes the call of God on his life is to go to England, we pray that God will show him. He came to me several years ago with that. And I told George Chege his name. I told him, "Are you sure you want to go? You think God's calling you to England?" He says, "I am." I says, "Well, then you just start working that way." And we've been training and raising them up. So, you know, our dream is not only just to reach Kenya, but also beyond. And we believe that we can do that when we work together. When we work together with churches like you saw there in Kenya, when we work together with churches like Tally Road here in America, I believe when we do things together, we create a synergy among ourselves. And we can support these missionaries. We can reach people. We can build the kingdom of God here on earth as we await His coming. And I believe that together we can do that when we come together for a common cause. As we are raising up churches, raising up pastors, raising up schools around Kenya to train those things. But I believe we can only do that when we recognize three things. The first one is we must see the need. If we don't see the need, we won't go, we won't give, we won't pray. Today, I'm very blessed to hear that Tally Road is a giving, a praying, a going church. As I see your missionaries on the board, as I hear the compassion and care for those in need in your family, that is such a blessing. So, seeing the need. Then number two, we need to determine that we can be part of the remedy. A lot of people think that's somebody else's job. That's the preacher's job. I see preacher running around here. He reminds me of myself when I was in ministry for 25 years in Springfield, Missouri, and just making the ministry happen and making sure everything's coming together. You know, pastor needs people to come alongside of him. I want to encourage you to do that. I know many of you are, and I appreciate those who are teaching, those who are ministering, and those who are doing the work of the ministry, but we need to continue that. So we need to be determined that we can be part of the remedy, as well as we need to take responsibility then for the call of God on our life and take action. And so this morning I want you to look in the book of Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, 36, 37. We're going to look at where Jesus saw the need for the gospel. And so in Matthew chapter 9, we come to this point where Jesus has been ministering And he'd been traveling all around. Verse 35 says that he'd gone all to cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And Jesus did what we like to do. He helped people. He healed people. He helped the poor. He helped the lame. He helped the blind. We see those illustrations in scriptures. And when we can do that, it's a great ministry. But what Jesus saw that we need to see is that there are people that are lost and dying, and they are going to hell because there's no shepherd. Look at verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was compassionate about doing the work of the ministry with healing people, but it moved his heart. That word there, he had compassion on them, speaks of a moving in his heart for people who had no direction. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know the truth. They didn't know the God of the Israelites, because the Israelites were struggling to communicate that message. And so here he was. He had a compassion for those people. And because there's a lot of shepherds out there who are leading people astray. We had a good example of that in Kenya. This last couple years, there's been an article, a big story in the paper, stemmed from a place called Shakahola. And it's out on the eastern side of Kenya near the Indian Ocean. And this preacher, he'd been trained and was preaching, but I think he got the ministry and wealth and healthy, wealthy and wise, you know, in front of him, and he wanted to be bigger. And he started convincing his people to give and give and give to his church and to himself. And he became this big man where he even convinced people to starve themselves and give what they have. Give what they have and they do without. And so that he could get better and bigger, and the ministry could get bigger and bigger, until finally he even convinced them to starve themselves to death and their children. And when the Kenya government figured this out, this false teacher, misguiding people, started out looking good, like a lot of ministries, but he was misguiding these people. And when they went out there, they discovered over 400 graves on the property of the church, and they suspect there's another 200 graves of people who have been buried there that have given their lives, basically, because the preacher said, do this, and give all you have to the church, and then you can starve yourself and go to heaven. And there are false teachers like that. We don't know if those people knew the Lord. We don't know if those people were saved. We just know those people were following a shepherd that was leading them the wrong way.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus was compassionate about. People that are leading people astray, leading people away from the gospel, leading people to believe in prosperity theology, leading people to believe that might makes right, we can do these things. If we just believe, it will happen. You know, and there's all kinds of beliefs out there, but we need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and lean not to our own understanding, and really believe that Christ is our Lord. And he goes on to say to the disciples, verse 37, he says unto them that the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. You know, when we see the need of the gospel, we can pray and seek and help people to come to know the Lord. And I encourage you to continue to pray, because prayer works. As you pray today, prayer works. We were praying for laborers, as we've been saying. And when I came back on furlough this year, I had an eye surgery to get I had double vision the last 4 years. And I've been struggling with my glasses and my sight. And so they went in and did some surgeries. My wife finally got my head straight through those surgeries. So we've been having, it's been good as I prepare to head back to the field. But as we think about the need is absolutely just all around us. Okay? The need is all around us. We have to see that need. And when we see that need of those people around us, as Jesus here, he was among the multitude. He was helping the sick and the lame, but he saw the need for those who did not have a shepherd, someone to lead them to Jesus Christ, someone to lead them to saving knowledge. We can go to church all our life. In fact, I talk to a lot of people across Kenya that do. And they go to church all their life. And then when I ask them, what must you do to enter into the kingdom of God, and they don't know. They think they go to church. They think if they do good, they think if they do these other things, they'll enter into the kingdom of God. And we are able to win several to the Lord just by sharing with them the good news of Jesus Christ out of John chapter 3, where he says, you must be born again. To be born again is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. To be born again is to put your trust in Jesus Christ and then walk with him. Not just lip service, but a belief in your heart that changes. Like that belief that we have when we receive that, when we receive our bride at the altar. That belief that says, we're not going to go with any other girls now. We're just going to go with this one girl. When we receive Jesus Christ, we need to just go with this one God. But there's many gods that distract us. And the need is all around. We just need to see that. I think of the people connected even to our ministry. The other day we were at the restaurant and there was a young lady serving us. And I just gave her a tract. And asked her about her faith. She says, I needed that. I'd like to talk more about that. And we talked. I shared the gospel with her there, but she was busy in her work, so she had to go on. And you know, there are people that are just waiting for us to share the truth of the gospel with them. And we need to be sharing that. I think of people like the young man that works with me. He's in one of the pictures. His name is Kevin. And Kevin came to me, asked for a ride. And I gave him a ride from my house to the market. And in that way, in that time, a kilometer and a half, I shared the gospel with him. We prayed. He received Christ. And everything happened so fast. He told me later, didn't even realize what had happened. And I gave him a Bible. We got him planted in the discipleship, went through discipleship. And last week, I was home in Nairobi to watch him graduate from Baptist Bible College with his bachelor in biblical studies. And since I've seen you last, that's all been in the works. We've been working on that. And so the need is all around us. There's so many people that need the gospel. The need is in every country. You know, there are people that are waiting for you. I think of the illustration from Acts chapter 10 where Peter went to Cornelius' family. And the one thing Cornelius needed to seal the deal for him to have eternal life was he needed to know about Jesus. He tried to serve God. He tried to be good. He gave his alms. He prayed and God saw that. But he needed Jesus Christ. And when Peter preached to him, Peter said in verse 34, "There of a truth I perceive." Peter understood the people of all races, I just don't even like that word, I'm sorry, of all people groups.
Right.
You know, we're all the same human race.
Right.
We're all the same people. We all have come from the same roots.
Amen.
But we have different people groups that have arisen out of the generations. And from those, Peter understood that not only could Jews be saved, but Gentiles could be saved. And so there are people that are waiting in every country. I'm reminded of this, this Shakahola group. I saw an evidence of that in June. I had the opportunity to go preach a missions class in one of our schools up in Lake Victoria region, about 8 hours from my house. That's a whole nother story, that travel. I can tell you that, of the Lord's blessings and provision. And as I got up there and was preaching and teaching in that class all week long, I noticed that there were people out there that were wearing some interesting hats. You might have seen them in the pictures. And some ladies that had some scars on their heads like nuns. And I said to the preacher who's leading this school, an institute in this church, I said, "These people don't look like us. Where are these people from? And who are these people?" And he said, "These are a group called Nomia." Nomia is a cult group in western Kenya with a particular tribe originated about 1907. And because of the Shakahola thing that went on, the government is cracking down and causing pastors around the nation to go study, get some kind of certificate so that you have authority to stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel. And so that's what these people came to our school and they said, "Will you teach us the gospel?" Now, if a cult group comes to you and says, will you teach us the Bible, are you going to do it? You know, they may not look like us, they may not act like us, but they did that. And so we had those people coming in that school, and the preacher, the of that church where I was teaching this course, he says, and I want you to go preach to them this weekend. So I went that weekend on Saturday, and I didn't know what I was going to preach to a cult group. The four churches had gathered together, about 40 in the room that day, and in their teachings, they only teach from the Old Testament, and they don't teach the New Testament. They don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, and they are like a lot of cults where they follow the teachings of their originator, and so this group has adopted ideas from the Catholic Church, and where they wear the garb for their leaders, and they have all these purple outfits. You might have seen some people in the video and some of that, and they have they take off their shoes, so they borrow that from the Muslims. They take off their shoes before they go in, and they meet on Saturday. They take that from the SDA. They just picked and chosen, and then they adopt several ideas from just African religions, traditional African religions. And so as I preached, you can look over in Romans chapter 9, and I'll share with you what I preached real quick. In Romans chapter 10, Paul said to Israel, my heart's desire is that Israel, that they might be saved. And he goes on to preach. He says, I bear record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So as I stood up there in my stocking feet, I've never preached that way before. That'd be a little distracting in America, you know. As I preached and shared with them these truths of the gospel, how that they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, they went about to establish their own, and they just needed to understand that if they would confess Jesus Christ with their mouth and believe in their heart that God had raised him from the dead, they would be what?
Saved.
They'd be saved. You know, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto
salvation.
And we know that because we are Bible believers. Appreciate that plug for the Bible in Sunday school. You know, we're Bible believers before anything else. And so as I preached that, the preacher that was interpreting for me, because we're working into another language, it's called the Luo language, L-U-O, and we're working in that. So he goes on and shares the gospel and the invitation. And those people from that cult group, we gave the invitation. We asked them if they wanted to be saved. And in that room, many hands went up. And so there was only three of us from the Bible school that were there, so we couldn't take them each one. So we led them to the Lord as a group. Well, I'm never satisfied with that after 25 years in children's ministry at my church in Missouri. And so I said, if you made a decision today, I want you to go back to the back. And I want you to see the secretary, write your name down, because if we get the name in the book, you know, that's pretty close to the Lamb's Book of Life if we get it written down. And so as we did that, the people got up. A man got up. I thought it'd just be maybe women and children, but a man got up first. Then the preacher, who had been in my Bible class learning missions, that was a preacher at that location, got up and went back there to confess that he had received Christ that day. Even the secretary. 30 of the 40 people that were in that room that day went back to sign the book and say they had received Jesus Christ. There was no prize given. There were no Bibles given. There was no award given. It was just a matter of confession of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, there are people in every nation. There are people all around us that need the gospel, that need someone to say, hey, how you doing today? Start the conversation. And I always start my conversation, my witness, I have a form about my witness. I talk about family, that's the F. I talk to them and break the ice. I talk to them about their occupation, F-O, that's the O. And then I talk to them about their religious experience, that's the R. And then I know how to plug the gospel in and how to approach them on the gospel, and that's the M. So that's the form of my gospel, and that's what we need to do. We need to develop a form in our gospel witness with the direction that we might be able to share the Word of God so that people can be saved. When we see that need, then the next step is so important, because now we see that people can be saved. We see that people need to come to know the Lord. We need to determine that we can be part of the remedy. And to be part of the remedy means we just simply say, here am I, send me, Lord, use me. You remember the story of Paul in Acts chapter 9? He was on the road to Damascus. He thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. He's taken these Christians to be persecuted. And God says, enough of that. I've got another plan for you. I'm going to turn your life over. And he casts him down on that road to Damascus with that bright light. You ever been hit by a bright light? I've never been hit by a bright light. That must have been a bright light. And Paul was cast down, and the blinders came on his eyes, and the Lord says to him, why are you kicking against me? And in that moment, Paul knew who was talking to him. And in that moment, Paul's heart changed. And you remember the words of Paul, Acts chapter 9, verse 6? He says, Lord, what would you have me do? For us to determine to be the remedy, we have to come to a point in our life where we say, Lord, what would you have us to do? That happened for me in the summer of 1979. I went to youth camp in Missouri and with my church, and my world was falling apart. My mother had passed away. Things were a little crazy in my family. My dad had gotten MS, and then it turned out to be mercury poisoning because he was a recycler. And things were just different in my life. And that summer, I felt like God was speaking to me. And I just simply said, Lord, I'll go do what you want me to do. I came back and I began to teach the primary boys. I went to Bible college. I got involved in children's ministry. For the next 25 years, I did that in Springfield, Missouri, until the Lord called us to Kenya. I'm telling you, it just has to start somewhere. You don't have to be a missionary tomorrow. Okay? Don't be scared. You know, this missionary saying, I got to go to the field tomorrow. I got to go preach. No. It starts with a willing heart that says, I can be part of the remedy. Would you simply say with Paul today, Lord, what would you have me to do in the ministry? What would you have me to do to get the gospel out? I see the need. I see the young people. I see the old people. I see couples that are lost in prosperity, seeking that. I see all these things around our world, but they all, like Jesus saw in Matthew chapter 9, are like sheep scattered abroad without a shepherd, and they need direction. Would you be the remedy today? Would you listen to that call of God on your life? And then last of all, I want to challenge you today to take responsibility. One of my greatest challenges on this is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we have the picture of the Macedonian churches. Those were the churches that Paul started when Paul was supposed to be going to Asia in Acts 16, but the Lord stopped him in Bithynia and sent him back to Macedonia, and he heard that call from Luke, and Luke said, come and help us. And Paul went across to Macedonia and began his ministry in Europe, and that's where we see Lydia and the seller of purple, and that first church began. That's the churches of Macedonia. Okay, and that we see those churches of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. They heard that the Corinthians were going to give, so they got motivated. And so they decided to give. And they took responsibility for the need that was in the Jerusalem churches. Today, are you taking responsibility? I see you're supporting, but is everybody involved in getting the gospel out? Is everybody involved? I'd encourage you to be 100% of you giving something, giving of your tithes, and then giving of something to help one of the ministries that your church supports so that you can be obedient to the Great Commission. Because that church in Macedonia, those churches, the churches of Macedonia, they first gave of themselves. Have you given your life to Christ? When you give your life to Christ, it's a lot easier to give what's in your pocket. I want to challenge you today to give your life to Christ. Then whatever's in your pocket, in your home, you can yield those things to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He can use you. He can use what you have. Today, I want to challenge you to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, ask Him, just like those Nomia people did. Ask Him to come into your life, forgive you of your sin, and be your Savior. Ask Him to change you. And then take responsibility when you see that need. Take responsibility and step up where there's opportunity. Be baptized, be discipled. Go get involved in the ministry today. I just want to challenge you today, because if we're going to reach the world with the gospel, It's got to start with us. Get your finger out. Okay? It's got to get your finger out, every one of you. Okay? There's nobody that's immune. All right? This isn't, it's like COVID. Everybody can get it, right? Okay? Everybody has a responsibility, and that responsibility starts right where?
Here.
Right here. Let me encourage you today. See the need around you. Decide today that you can be the answer. And then I want to challenge you today to take responsibility. Take a step. Bring somebody to Sunday school. Share the gospel with somebody. If you don't know the gospel, receive Christ today. I want to pray for you this morning as we close. If there's one that needs to be saved, I want to challenge you today that you take that step. If there's one that needs to be obedient, I want to challenge you today that you take that step like I did in 1979. And I just simply said, Lord, here am I. I'll do what you want me to do. Lord, we thank you for those who have come today. Thank you for each one that is here. Lord, today, I pray that you would guide them to yourself. Lord, they've heard the gospel. They've heard the need to put their trust in you. Lord, how that you have given them hope. Lord, I pray that they'd take that first step. Lord, if there's one that's done that, that needs to take the next step, Lord, help them. Lord, show them the need around them. Help them to see the young people, the old people, the people around their neighborhood, the people around their work that need you. Lord, I pray that you'd move them with compassion like you were moved. Move them with compassion for those people who are chasing the world and they're chasing a whirlwind, Lord, but they're not chasing you. Help us to be a witness. Help us to be a light in this dark world. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd give them boldness to step out and take responsibility now for what they see. Help each one as they leave this place today to take your word, to take a track, to take a testimony to somebody to make a difference in somebody's life. Lord, we ask your blessings on your people as they walk in obedience. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.